Welcome to this edition of Making It Happen in the Greater Manchester Region. These segments are brought to our listeners through a collaborative partnership with Manchester Access Channel and 95.3 FM Radio, and Making It Happen, a regional coalition focused on creating a coordinated response among individuals, organizations, businesses, and communities to promote behaviors that measurably improve overall health and well-being of our youth, families, and communities. Our work is rooted in the core belief that behavioral health is essential, prevention works, treatment is effective, and people recover. The Greater Manchester region includes the communities of Auburn, Bedford, Candia, Deerfield, Goffstown, Hooksett, Manchester, and New Boston. I'm Jenny O'Higgins. I'm the Community Impact Director at Making It Happen. And today, our guest is here from Manchester Community Health Center.
Hi, Jenny. Thank you. I'm Lara Quiroga. I'm the Director of Strategic Initiatives for Children at the Manchester Community Health Center. And my work over the last 5 years and especially over the last three has been focusing on the wellness of young children in our community, particularly those who are exposed to various kinds of trauma and what we call adverse childhood experiences or ACEs.
So I'm very interested in, you know, hearing a little bit more about this today and about the work that you have been doing and about how our community can have an impact on that. Can you tell us a little bit about just how children grow and how they develop and, you know, give us a little bit of background to lay the framework for this?
Sure. So what we know about the way young children in particular, but all children develop, is that their brain is the foundation for everything that follows. And their brain develops in the context of relationships. So those relationships that they have with the caring adults in their lives are really, really important. And so we want strong relationships so that we can have a strong foundation. Of course, conversely, if children don't get that strong foundation, if they have a weak foundation, their outcomes are not as good. So a strong foundation leads to more positive outcomes in adulthood, and a weaker foundation leads to more negative outcomes in adulthood. And those relationships that children have with caring adults need to be secure and nurturing and responsive. Those relationships are the key ingredient to mitigating or buffering any sort of negative effects that may be a result of negative experiences in childhood.
So I know that there are some, you know, components there around what would strengthen that relationship building, would strengthen that foundation for young people. What are some of the things that might derail that development as well?
So we generally call them adverse childhood experiences. That term came about based on a study that was originally done in the late 90s, but there's been hundreds of studies that have happened since looking at adverse childhood experiences. And basically, they're categorized into sort of three general areas. So abuse, neglect, and what they refer to as household dysfunction. That's not a great term because some of these things are actually, they happen in a lot of people's lives, but it includes things like parental divorce, parental incarceration, motherhood depression or domestic violence, some sort of mental illness in the household, and substance use disorders. And then there's also some additional information coming out that actually looks at adverse community experiences. So children grow up in the, in the environment, so not only in the context of their family, but also in their community. And so if there's additional factors that they're experiencing, like poverty or some sort of violence in the community, those things can also have the potential to have a negative impact on their development.
And we talked a lot about this. We had an earlier podcast around like building community resilience, and it both has that sort of individual, how do we build a resilience within our young people, as well as that layer around community environments. How do we create a healthy community that supports all of us as we're growing? So I could see some connections there. These adverse childhood experiences in particular, can you talk to me a little bit about if you experience, you know, one or more of those, what that looks like, or how that, because you've talked, you know, generally to say that it will impact long-term outcomes.
Right.
What does that look like?
So the correlation that the research has identified is that the more adverse childhood experiences you have, the more at risk you are for poor behavioral and physical and mental health outcomes as an adult. So things like smoking and substance use disorders, as well as things like cancer and heart disease and COPD and depression. So we want to do what we can to prevent those from happening. There's some interesting studies that have looked at specific outcomes related to adverse childhood experiences. And so one of the studies has said that a child with six or seven ACEs has a 90 to 100% chance of being diagnosed with a developmental delay. And that has really serious implications for our schools and for our special education work in the schools. There's other studies that have said that five or more ACEs have a 10% increase in illicit drug use by age 14, and then about 40% over the course of the lifetime. And so, if we think about what's happening right now in terms of the opioid crisis, if we're not doing something to mitigate the impacts of these adverse childhood experiences now, which now also includes children living in families where there's been fatal and non-fatal overdoses, we could be looking at an exponentially more serious problem in 10 or 20 years.
So that's sort of some of the bleak information, mm-hmm. right, around like what this could look like. How can children overcome the effects of trauma in their life, or how can we as a community support helping children to overcome this? So where's the glimmer of light?
Right. So the most important thing is around relationships. Certainly parent-child relationships are really important, but sometimes it's hard for parents to develop that relationship, sometimes because of a mental illness or depression or a substance use disorder. So we want to do whatever we can to support those parent-child relationships. So whether it is, delivering a meal to a neighbor, or if someone's asking for help, helping them to find a resource around some education or some sort of support service. That is really the most important thing we can do. Anything to help the parent and child or whoever the primary caregiver is to strengthen that relationship and ensure that it's nurturing, secure, and responsive.
Great. What are some of the interventions we currently have sort of set up in the Manchester area that are working, just as some examples?
Mm-hmm. So one of the, I think, sort of coolest things happening more recently is a collaboration with the Manchester Police Department, the YWCA, and the Manchester Community Health Center. We have set up a team that will follow up on incidents where children have been exposed to some sort of trauma. So it could be they witnessed an overdose, there was some domestic violence incident. That team will follow up with the family a couple days after and just say, we know you have this other stuff going on and you're working on that, but we also are really concerned about the effects that that could have on your child. So we want to do what we can to help you connect with some of the services available. And it's been really successful since we launched in July of 2016. We've had contact with over 1,000 children and nearly 800 families. So we have families that are really interested in the services we talk about. And those services just really run the gamut because we know that families have such individual needs. So we have several agencies in the community that are our partners in this. Their services include things like home visiting, which is where someone can come into your home and actually help you with some of the challenges you're facing and help you focus on the relationship with your child. High-quality early childhood education is really important. It's another opportunity for children to build that nurturing, responsive relationship with an adult caregiver. We have CREATE is a really cool program It's an expressive arts therapy center that we find is really popular for parents and children. And we also have a relationship with UpReach, and that is a unmounted equestrian therapy program based in Goffstown. So there's some really unique opportunities for parents to sort of find the right fit in terms of what interests them, the age of their child, what their schedule is like, and what services might be the best fit based on what is going on in their lives.
Thank you. Sounds like a lot of great work is being done. I also heard you talk a little bit around how do we just increase protective factors for youth. And so you mentioned, you know, another example of course, we want to make sure these interventions and are available to families and help with the parental relationship. And then there's other opportunities as well to build a caring, nurturing relationship with other adults, you know, as well. Right. And so there may be some other places we could strengthen as a community.
Right. A real simple example is there's many opportunities for some parent education classes. If you feel like you need help, it's a wonderful opportunity not only to learn some of those skills, but to connect with other parents who are also saying, what the heck, you know, do I do with the situation or with my child? And we've seen parents really develop relationships so that they have sort of a social network that they can reach out to the next time something else comes up.
It makes me think of that, you know, just saying that it takes a village kind of thing. You've talked a lot about some of the benefits of collaboration, both with stakeholders and the ACERT team, that being a collaboration among stakeholders, but also collaboration among friends and neighbors of like, how do we support one another? Like when someone is looking for help, how are we going to help, you know, kind of carry that together?
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk just a little bit more about those, the benefits of collaboration as you see it?
Sure. So for me, my perspective is that particularly with ACERT, it wouldn't be possible without collaboration. It really takes agencies and organizations working together. And we have this shared vision for our community that we care about each other and we want our children to grow up and be responsible, productive members of our community and of our society. And so what we need to do now is make sure that they're getting what they need, and part of that is not only what do the children need, but also what does their family need. That in what do they need for support? So as I mentioned earlier, it could be something as simple as a parent who is really stressed out, has a hard time focusing on their relationship when they're trying to figure out how to put dinner on the table. So bringing a casserole over next door, which might feel uncomfortable, but it's really, really helpful. Or offering to pick up some milk because you're on your way to the store as well. And then there's some other ways, like if you feel less comfortable sort of doing a more personal touch with a neighbor, are you in a position where you could volunteer for Big Brothers Big Sisters and be a mentor for a child? The Boys and Girls Club has some great programming for youth and volunteer opportunities. And of course, right now we have Manchester Proud happening, and they're looking for people to help understand what the community wants from its schools, and with this, again, shared vision of producing the best possible outcomes from the kids that are in our community.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you for touching on, you know, sort of a few things that we each as individuals too can do to support young people and to support our community. This has been really important information for all of us to understand sort of the baseline of what are adverse childhood experiences, how do they influence young people's outcomes, and what can we do about it? Really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Are there some places that people could go to learn a little bit more about all of this information? I know we just kind of were able to touch on it all briefly, and there's a lot there. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering if there are some resources where we could go to explore this a little bit deeper.
Sure. If you want more information on ACERT specifically, you can go to the Programs tab on the Manchester Community Health Center's website, which is mchc-nh.org. For more information around adverse childhood experiences, there's two websites I would recommend. One is the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation website, and they have a wonderful sort of infographic that's called The Truth About ACEs that gives you an overview of what ACEs are and the risks associated with higher numbers of ACEs. And then for additional additional information, articles, stories of success from other communities, I would recommend going to a website that's called ACEs Too High. That's the address as well.
Thank you so much. So for more information around Making It Happen and the work we're doing in the community to build youth resilience, you can visit makingithappen.org. And thank you so much for joining us again. And thanks to our listeners throughout the Greater Manchester region. With your support, we're all working to inform, engage, and work together to build healthy, thriving communities. So thanks for listening.